God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. Darkest night, His light will shine. God is good.
Oh yes, God is good.
God is good.
He is so good
all the time.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good.
God is good
all the time. If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around, do not fear. He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. We were sinners, so unworthy. Still for us He chose to die. Filled us with His Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that His love is everlasting and His mercy they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. Oh, God is good all the time. Though I may not understand all the plans you have for me, my life is in your hand. And through the eyes of faith, I can clearly see that God is good all the time. You put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. He is good all the time.
Worship, You will be exalted, O God, and
your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days.
Every tongue.
Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you'll be exalted, O God. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.
That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Today, we kind of like disobeyed. We weren't expecting it, so we were waiting for a gap to fill up so that, or to get in between so we can get out of the off the interstate onto the exit ramp. And so me and my cousin Jeff, we were there and we prayed. And we prayed for a gap to come across, and then it did, so then we got off of there. And we drove up to McDonald's to put, because there's an air place up there, and so we put in some air and to see if the tire was just, just decided to hail and maybe get people from the work, but it didn't work. And so we were like praying, we prayed somebody would come along and help us more, and a guy came and he said, "You need help?" And we go, "Yeah, we do. We've got a flat tire and everything. Oh, we don't know if we have a spare," so we checked the car, we found out we did have a spare, but we couldn't get the jack underneath the car. So the guy came over and he lifted up the car, the back end of the car for us, so we could get the jack underneath there.
Everybody knows we just got back from camp. It was my last year. I just wanted to say how much of a blessing camp has been to me throughout my life. How important it has been to me to go. I have added it up. I've been going for 11 years consecutively ever since I've been able to. And two other people there have been going for 11 years with me. Since we all started at the same age, and this is our last year, all three of us. It was really a touching time for all three of us to have to say goodbye, but I know I'll see him in heaven someday. But I just wanted to say how much of a blessing it is. I mean, I have grown so much through my experiences at camp. I don't even know. It's just, it's awesome. And it's like God uses camp to grab hold of people's hearts and actually show them that He is real, that there are other people in this world that are like you, other people throughout this state that are like you, that you're not the only one going to your school and telling your friends about Jesus, that there are other people around you. It's just like God has used camp. I mean, how He has touched so many people's lives through camp. And I mean, I've heard stories about parents who won't let their kids go to camp and stuff like that. And I could never understand why any parent wouldn't allow their kid to go to camp. What camp has done for me in my life, how it has touched me, and how it has allowed me to grow in faith, and how it has allowed me to understand God and His Word and so much more about Him and what it has done through my life. I don't understand why any parent wouldn't allow their kid to go to camp. It's been awesome. And I know that through camp I have grown more, and that now that I've gone to camp, I have stronger faith, I think. I know I do. I know I have stronger faith through camp. And I know that now that I'm out of camp, that God is going to take me through the rest of my life. I mean, there's a lot of crying. It was crying. It was sad. It's my last year ever. I've been going forever. And I've seen so many changes. And I know that race is run, but I'm starting another race all over again, in the race to my future. The school's over and I'm going to college, and that race is beginning, and I know God has been with me this whole entire time, and He is going to continue on with me until this race is over.
Aren't you glad that God is still on the throne? Hallelujah. I never went to camp. I didn't have any desire to, but I'm glad God grabbed a hold of me and brought me out of where I was and put me into where I'm going now. What a glorious day that was.
Far away, the noise of strife upon my ear is calling. Then I know the sins of earth be set on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from below. Living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky.
Praise God.
I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land, far below the storm of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle on the enemy withstand. Safe am I within the castle of God's word retreating. Nothing then can reach me, 'tis Beulah land. I'm living the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Let the stormy breezes blow their cry, cannot alarm me. I am safely sheltered here, protected by God's hand. Here the sun is always shining, here the dark can harm me. I am safe forever in Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on a manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Viewing here the works of God, I sing in contemplation. Hearing now his blessed voice, I see the way he planned. Dwelling in the Spirit, here I learn a full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah land.
Hallelujah.
I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky.
Praise God.
I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like that song. I do like that song.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. Just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And God walk the streets that our parents go. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow of stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. I got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow.
Hallelujah.
Poor or deserted or lonely, I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a
gets sweeter and sweeter every day, doesn't it, Bob? I never thought I'd be excited about a time like that. But the longer I have been a Christian, the more excited I am. There's a place on the other side of death. We're not going to die. This old body, this old tent will fall away. But you know, the life in us goes on forever. And we got a mansion, or we got a lake of fire, and that choice is ours. Hallelujah. And if you haven't made the choice, you've made the choice. If you haven't made the choice, you've made the choice. I hope you hear me when I say that. If you haven't made the choice, you've made the choice. Because if you haven't chosen Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, your destiny will be the lake of fire. If you've chosen Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, your destiny will be heaven and a mansion over the hilltop and streets of gold. Hallelujah. And it gets sweeter and sweeter every day, the idea of that. Hallelujah.
The faith rise up and sing of the great and glorious King. Strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, He's Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, women of the truth. Falling deeper in love with you, you burn the truth on our lips. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed?
Are you washed? Blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Will your soul be ready for the mansion's bride? I'd be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Oh, be washed
in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. The guys that study the Bible and break it down into themes tell us that one-third of the Bible is devoted to prophecy. I couldn't tell you other than their word on that. I know a lot of the Bible has to do with prophecy. Tonight we're going to look at some end time prophecy. Sounds like science fiction. And don't normally do this, but I thought that this topic might be interesting tonight. I'm going to read the first 15 verses of this chapter. And tonight we're going to consider the issue, will science clone human life? Will science clone human life? Revelation chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. And I stood up on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make more with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, and tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. For years we've looked at the book of Revelation, and because we're not able to explain it, saw it as simply symbolic. Now with the technology and the modern science that we have, we see how some of these things could be literally fulfilled right before our eyes. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight to pray, Lord, that you would help us to see the seriousness of the times in which we live, and truly, Lord, the end is near. We believe it tonight, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled the message tonight, Beside Myself. Beside Myself. You've heard the old saying, I'm beside myself. Will human cloning make that a reality? Will it make it a reality? How many of you have heard about Dolly the sheep? Came back into the world by way of cloning back in February of 1997. Her creators at the Edinburgh, Scotland, Roslin Institute promised that Dolly embodied the promise of animals that could produce drugs for and organs for human beings. While there had been limited success with cloning in the past, the sheep was the first mammal cloned from an adult creature. Sounds like science fiction, doesn't it? An Italian scientist, Dr. Severno Antonini, something like that, acknowledges his desire to clone human beings. In Italy, getting permission will be difficult, however, as the Roman Catholic Church opposes cloning. Another scientist, Eric Schahn, a biologist from New York's Columbia University, says the creation of cloned human babies could be 2 to 5 years away. He downplayed those who opposed this concept, saying that some of those who are repulsed by cloning a child seem to have no scruples with discarding 25 of them. Some aliens, a religion who says that cloning is the key to humanity's future, and a religious imperative, as far as they are concerned, have built a secret laboratory, according to the U.S. News and World Report, and they have vowed to create the first human being this year. Clonad, the company billed as the world's first human cloning company, claims that they are only a few weeks away from being able to clone a human being. Legislation to ban cloning is now pending in dozens of nations, including the United States. The aliens say that the feds have no right, no legal right to stop them. Other groups say that they will continue their cloning work even if they have to do it in countries overseas. The aliens, however, are the ones who really got the FDA's attention. Bridget Bazalier, a trained chemist and bishop of this sect, has told reporters that she has 3 scientists and a physician trying to resurrect an 11-month-old infant, the deceased son of a former state legislator, whom the aliens refuse to identify, and they say this will come about through genetic regeneration. Rael, who is the founder of the Raelian religion, says that he was contacted by a UFO in 1973, and he has gained tons, actually thousands, of followers. Dozens of young Raelian women have volunteered to donate eggs and act as surrogate mothers for a cloned embryo. It's amazing the things that are going on in our world. Parents believing that if we could somehow clone human beings, if a child dies prematurely, we could bring that child back to life. Or we could take that which was in them and clone another being like them. The whole concept is beyond me, I must admit. But I'm intrigued by Revelation chapter 13 and verse 15. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Here the devil gets permission from God to give life unto the image of the beast. Satan can get permission from God to counterfeit life, and it appears to me from this verse, he will get it, and he will do it. Some way he will give life to an image. Some way he will counterfeit life. Certainly the prospect is sufficiently frightening to force us down on our knees and pray to Almighty God that he either prevent such a horrible development or that he takes us out in the rapture before this scenario can occur. Because whenever man gets new capabilities, he injects murder, violence, and evil into it. I've read everything that I could get my hands on as far as the subject has been concerned for a couple of years. I've read everything from cloning babies without heads to harvesting living adults. And the whole thing is quite scary. It's quite frightening, to be honest with you. And certainly we could see the development of a superior race in this new technology. And if you are going to bring a superior race into this world, you must first cleanse the earth of the old inferior races. Kind of sounds like history repeating itself, doesn't it? The cloning issue is the, quote, new morality of the coming satanic Antichrist. Tonight I would like to look at cloning from a biblical perspective. I'm not about to suggest that the Bible has anything to say specifically about cloning. I'm not that bold and I'm not that far out on a limb. But what I would like to do is share with you some things that may be just as explosive. Most of the necessary changes in Western culture have taken place and have been needed to take place to prepare the population for the appearance of Antichrist, they could not have occurred without a gradual moving away from biblical truth and knowledge. Today, some people are so biblically illiterate, they would not recognize Satan if he grabbed them by the throat on a public street. And we've looked at, Wednesday night, we looked at a study that was kind of chilling. 20% of those who consider themselves Christians do not believe in the devil's existence and that he has the power to interfere in their lives. People don't believe in the devil anymore. They're not going to believe in the Antichrist, that he is demon-possessed when he shows up. And Satan has the people of the world by the throat. And nobody understands this fact, and they won't understand it even when the death toll begins to mount. Satan is in charge in this issue of cloning. Satan is controlling events here, working through men who are not saved to achieve his goals. The picture which portrays this reality is of a master marionette pulling on the strings of some puppets, sometimes gently and sometimes roughly, to make the puppets, or in this case, the humans, perform as he wishes. Satan is acting as the master marionette, pulling the necessary strings on the necessary people on earth to achieve the kingdom of the Antichrist. Certainly, the kingdom of the Antichrist is greatly enhanced by the development of cloning. We should not be surprised that this development comes at just the same time as many other indicators are flashing a warning that the Antichrist may be very close to staging his appearance. Cloning establishes the following objectives for the Antichrist, and this is not a master list, but one which came readily to mind. Number one, Satan has always wanted to be like God, and so he comes as close as he can to being a creator of life. One of the Bible verses that Satan hates the most, the verse that's been attacked probably more than any other verse in the Bible, is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. Satan would love to take that verse out of the Bible. And he knows he can't do that. And so he has to be like God, and he wants to create life. In Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14, it describes Satan's desire to be just like God. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That is the attitude that Satan has. It's the attitude which led to his rebellion against God before God created the universe as we know it today. And it is still the same rebellious attitude Satan and his followers have today. Heard much about the New World Order? It's nothing more nor less than the final exhibition of this rebellious spirit. Certainly, cloning gives the appearance of creating life, even though the scientists did not create life out of no life. They did create a new type of procreation. At the bottom line, a new form of procreation was originated, but scientists started with a live cell. They will never be able to create life from nothing. Only God can do that. Still, most of the people will be convinced that man created life. Therefore, wicked man will have yet another false reason to disbelieve in God and the Bible and his judgment. Why should I believe in God? Yeah, he created life, but so did science. So did modern science. So did our scientists. They created life as well. Number two, Satan is setting the stage where people will be most enthralled by the powers and the abilities of the Antichrist. Since many Bible commentators have long lamented the fact that people seem to be worshiping modern science rather than the God of the Bible, we should not be surprised that modern science has elevated man almost to the point of being creator. Remember, the kingdom of Antichrist is simply the elevation of man to the pinnacle of worship. Antichrist will present himself as the ultimate man with ultimate wisdom and with ultimate power. The religion of the Antichrist, I believe, will be New Age, which is self-worship. Matthew 24:24 begins some prophecies concerning the seemingly supernatural powers of the Antichrist during his reign on the earth. Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect." In other words, the era of the Antichrist will be unprecedented deception. He will deceive. We know from John's Gospel that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work, already in the world. But there is coming one who will be the master deceiver. If it were possible, he would be able to deceive even those elect and sealed of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Notice the words of strength in this passage. If you were to put the emphasis on certain words, the strong words, they would be all power and signs and lying wonders. The forces of the Antichrist will deceive, but how will they deceive? They will deceive the unsaved on earth because he exercises this deception with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Then we see that God sends a strong delusion on those of the kingdom of the Antichrist who reject the truth of the Bible, that they might be saved. See, they've already rejected it, and so God sends them a delusion, and they begin to believe the lies that are around them. The context, is it like the person who tells so many lies that eventually they begin to believe their own lies? The context of this passage is the kingdom of Antichrist and the struggle Satan is waging to get him revealed. Of course, Satan works through men to achieve his goals, so we should expect his battle to get Antichrist revealed would be waged through human followers. The New Age follows this scenario precisely. And I believe that when Antichrist is revealed, God will send a strong delusion upon all New Agers who are now doing everything in their power to meditate the Christ, who's the Antichrist, into the power. You know how the New Agers do that? They sit around, they meditate their Christ, who's really the Antichrist, into power. I do not believe that this passage means that no one who has heard the gospel and rejected it will receive the strong delusion so that they cannot be saved. I believe that there are people who hear the gospel now who can be saved in the tribulation. But the context supports that, I believe. But there are those who persist in telling lies and believing those lies, that God will send a delusion to them, a strong delusion, and they will believe their own lies. The true meaning of this passage is powerful. Working through Antichrist, Satan will deceive the world mightily with all power of lying signs and wonders and all deceivableness of righteousness. What can that possibly mean? It means that people who have already rejected God and His Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, will be given more deception by Satan to further believe the lie. Most people believe in the theory of evolution because they want to believe in it, not because there's a lot of science to back it up. They believe in it because they want to believe in it. They want to believe that there is no sovereign God who will call them into judgment for their actions. But this is the truth of the matter. They don't want to believe in God. And they certainly don't want to believe that someday God would judge them. And so they believe the lie of evolution. As God lamented over Israel that was about to be destroyed in judgment, he said, "This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of God, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things." Prophecy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. It's taken from Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 through 11. Can you hear the American people saying that today? Can you hear them saying, stop preaching to us the Bible? Don't speak to us, don't preach to us the truth. Instead, preach smoothing words. Preach the words that tickle our ears. Give us those things that we want to hear. Don't speak of judgment. Don't speak of hell. Speak of love. Speak of comfort. Speak of utopia here on earth. Even though they are lies, we want to hear those things rather than what the Bible has to say. Tell us that we are inherently good. Tell us that there is no such thing as sin. Tell us that there is no such thing as God. Cease holding Jesus Christ up before us. Isn't that what people want to hear today? It's like they're saying, don't see the truth. Don't prophesy the truth unto us. We don't want to hear anything to do with the truth. We want to just hear things that tickle our itching ears. Bible-believing Christians are furiously hated because we refuse to believe their lies and we refuse to believe and to speak smooth things to their ears. They do not realize it, but the sound in their ears is God's approaching judgment. Well, they might have the argument of cloning on their side, to argue that man can now create life without a God. All that means is people will be further encouraged to disbelieve in God. They will be further encouraged to disbelieve in the biblical creation story and in the truth of God's gospel. I believe it is likely that cloning is setting the stage whereby Satan will be allowed to infuse his occultic supernatural strength into the situation, possibly creating the scenario where people can actually believe that the Antichrist is God. What does prophecy say? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Antichrist might show himself to be God by creating life through cloning or some kind of derivative of it. Now let's return to the prophecies which describes Antichrist's ability to deceive people by his supposed miracles and powers. Revelation chapter 13, verse 13 and the first part of verse 14. "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast." Satan will deceive the rebellious unsaved by means of the miracles, by means of those miracles which he had power to do. In the context of this verse, the person deceiving the people by signs and wonders is the partner in crime to the Antichrist, the false prophet. And then Revelation chapter 13, starting with the second part of verse 2 through 4, "And the beast which I saw, the dragon, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So the Antichrist will miraculously recover from some kind of wound to the head. And as a result, the peoples of the world will be totally blown away by his supernatural power and authority. They will fall down and worship him as God. They will say that he is the ultimate. Nobody could ever make war with him and win. And then just a few verses later, we see the ultimate extension of this reverence for the Antichrist as these deluded people take the mark of the beast as a symbol of their spiritual loyalty. I don't know how much cloning will play a part in this, but in my heart of hearts, I believe that somehow it will. I used to think that God would stop science before it ever got to this point. But I'm intrigued as I read this passage of Scripture. Some way, somehow, God allows Satan to create life. At the very least here, we are given a glimpse of the tremendous, unprecedented ability of man in the last days of time. Brings me to my final biblical point this evening. How is it that God could have allowed man to come into possession of this knowledge and to come to it at such a time in which the Antichrist is soon to appear? Certainly the majority of American people instinctively understand that cloning gives ability for unfathomable, unthinkable evil in the hands of a truly evil man. Why would God allow this to happen? Well, to understand this principle, we need to turn to Bible prophecies that are very unique. There's a unique phrase that occurs only in the book of Revelation. It does not occur anywhere else in the entire Bible. It occurs only in the book of Revelation. And once we understand this phrase, we will understand events like cloning. The phrase occurs 5 times in the book of Revelation, and 4 of the 5 speak of the kingdom of Antichrist. The phrase is, and power was given. And power was given. I'd like to review those scriptures with you. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 4. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given. Power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. The sword speaks of political power. So the Antichrist was given political power. Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. Now there's a scary thought. You take the Bible literally, like I do and like you should, there's this pale horse. There's a person sitting, or this pale horse anyway, his name was Death, or somebody's sitting on him, his name is Death, and hell followed him. You talk about a horror movie? The pits of hell will be opened up, and hell will follow this pale horse whose rider is Death. And power was given. There's the verse. There's the words. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. This power that is given is political power and it's economic power. And then Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Spiritual power. He has political power, he has economic power, he has spiritual power. And then Revelation chapter 13 and verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Again, political and spiritual power. Understand what's happening. Power was given unto the Antichrist by God himself to accomplish all of God's prophetic words and to demonstrate for eternity that man left to himself is incredibly evil, just as the Bible states. At the white throne judgment, Jesus does not want anybody to say to him, if you would have just left us alone, we could have created utopia on earth. God is going to leave man alone for a maximum of 7 years, and at the end of those 7 years, man will have destroyed himself and practically everything else. Those 7 years will stand for eternity as the monument to man's inherent evil. Man is inherently evil. Don't believe that man is inherently good. The Bible teaches that man is inherently evil. You know what I think? I think the end could truly be closer than most of us think. It could be closer than we realize. Are you adequately protecting your loved ones? Are you ready for the return of Christ? If the trumpet should sound, are you ready to go? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready? How about your loved ones? Are they ready? How about your friends? Are they ready? My other concern is, what am I going to do with the life that I do have? And the time that is left, what am I going to do with that life and with that time? Each of us have been given a very precious thing, life. Human life is extremely, extraordinarily precious, but it's also short-lived. The Apostle James wrote that our lives are like a morning vapor that appears only until the first rays of the sun hit it. What about your life? Before we worry too much about the implications of cloning, we had better give careful considerations to the lives we already have. God gave them, you know, and He will someday demand an audit from each of us asking, what did you do with the life that I gave to you? I want to be able to answer that question satisfactorily. Lord, here is what I did with the life that you gave. I didn't waste it, but I used it for your service, and I lived according to your purposes. I hope every one of us can say that as we stand before God someday. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? If there were to be an audit of your life right now, how would you answer that question? What did I do with the life God gave me? If God asked you, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with your life? What would you answer? Would you say, I lived it for self? I spent my life in selfish living. Or would you be able to say, I gave my life in service? I took the example of Jesus and I strove to be the servant of all. What are you doing with your life? Tonight's a checkpoint. A reminder to us that there's an evil time coming, and it may be sooner than we realize. We need to live our lives for Christ right now. Heavenly Father, the words of our text tonight are chilling. And yet, Lord, we take comfort in the fact that power was given by you. And we realize again tonight that you are the ultimate. You are really the only power. Lord, we place our lives in your hands. And Lord, we give ourselves to you. And we endeavor to live our lives for your honor and for your glory. We want to be of service to you. We want to be able to say, I gave it all for Jesus. Give us grace to be able to do that. Help us to realize our life is short, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All for Jesus, all my needs ransom comes. All my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours.
in the coming days ahead if the Lord should tarry. That fourth verse will become very real to us, resting now beneath His wings. Father, we thank You that we can commit our lives to You, Lord, and by doing so, we save them. And so, Lord, it's our desire to lose our lives for You. We pray, Lord, that You would bless the food and the fellowship downstairs now. Bless each one that has attended this evening. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.